broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we are constantly looking for places to go to that other talk shows would go to, wish they could go to, but they don't go to. Okay, so we have Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica this evening. We're going to continue with your phone calls and discuss. We also have David Hall coming up in about 20 minutes to discuss my working last week on the TV show New Girl. But with Margaret, this is a discussion of traveling safely on the highways of the United States with truck drivers who may be looking through the windshield of your car to see what they can see if your skirt's riding too high. And I, you know, if there's a safety problem there, Margaret, then I'm certainly willing to hear about it.
Well, Bill, it's more than a safety problem. It is. I think any man who knows that his wife or his daughter is traveling by themselves on the interstates of this country, and while your daughter, your own daughter, is traveling and she may be going somewhere as close as a friend, she may be going to school, she may be traveling to... I remember when Frank's daughter from his first marriage would visit us. We had a cabin at Bass Lake, and she would come up from school to visit us. This is a young woman that is on the highway. She's on the freeway by herself for 3 hours. And I would ask Frank, I would say, do you understand what these truck drivers do? They are going to want to look down to the windshield of your daughter's car to see, number one, is there something there? Number two, if there's something to look at, is it worth looking at for any length of time? And if it's worth looking at for any length of time, maybe he'd like to get to know it better. And I remember Frank looking at me and saying, get to know it. Are you calling my daughter an it? And I said, Frank, you know very well that I love Vicky as if she were my own. I'm not talking about Vicky. I said it. And Frank didn't know what I was talking about. I had to stand because men are not conscious of this. I had to stand up. And I'm, again, Phil, forced to say something that I wouldn't normally say. I had to lift my skirt up and point to it. I said, it, meaning this. Are you aware that there are truck drivers out there that may want to get to know it better? And you remember that, Frank?
Yeah, I remember.
That's what I'm saying. So,
well, are you afraid they're going to pull you over? And
well, you heard that one cackling man. You seem to think he was okay. He didn't sound right to me.
Who was that?
That Joe who was going, hoo, 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 hoo. Everything was a riot to him. He said some woman with a case of Bush pulled him over.
Okay, now, he didn't say, well...
No, he said she had a case of beer, and I think he said Bush Bavarian.
I don't think they make Bush Bavarian anymore.
Oh, Phil, grow up. I'm talking... He said she had a case of beer, and...
Well, he might have said Budweiser.
No, he didn't. He said Busch Bavarian beer. Now...
They don't even make Busch Bavarian beer anymore. They don't make it.
How do you know?
Because I can tell you, I've looked for it. I've looked for Busch Bavarian beer, and it is not made. Busch makes Busch. They make Busch Light. You know...
Well, then he was being crude. Then he was being crude. Now I get it. Now I know where he was going. See, again, Phil, you are like Frank, and I think you're like a lot of men. Men don't want to know the filth that is going on out there.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go back to Rita, who was hanging on. Rita, go ahead. If you had any final thoughts, we didn't want to cut you off. You've heard Margaret's comments.
Well, Rita, you know what I'm saying. I know that you don't want to agree because you rely on a man to keep your truck on the road.
Ma'am, that man is dead. I'm no longer on the truck. I don't rely on any man.
What man died? Well, there you go.
My husband.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Did he die from shock? Because I wouldn't be, you know...
Why don't you... I'm very sorry to hear that, Rita, that you're...
Well, yes, I am too. I apologize. Yes, I apologize. But what did he die from, dear? What?
He got hit in the oil field.
He got bit in an oil field.
Hurt in the oil field.
He got parked in an oil field. I don't.
His heart attack in an oil field.
No.
All right.
Injured.
Oh, an engine? An engine.
He was injured in an oil field.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, there you go.
Just my now, point. My point is, truck drivers are trying to make a living. We deal with DOT. We deal with logbooks. We deal with the hours we get to ride. We have a slower speed than the cars. There's no point in any of this going on. We are trying to make a living.
I understand that. You're a female. I don't think as a woman you're going to be looking out for that. But I can tell you that Frank's daughter, Vicky, I said to Frank, I said, you've got truckers out there, men, who are desperate to get some kind of a look before the sun goes down and they finally make it to where they're going. And Frank said, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, they're taking a look at it. And he said, did you call my daughter an it? I said, no. And that's when I had to point to it.
I don't know.
Are you all right? Well, I mean,
you don't know
what I'm saying. That is my signal to say, wake up. We've got a lot of waking up to do.
All right. Rita, thank you very much for hanging on. And I'm sorry to hear about your husband, and I hope that your life is moving along very well. Thank you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that was very, I think that's a little, isn't that a little patronizing?
No, that's called polite. That's what we do when someone says that they've lost a loved one. You say to that person, I'm very sorry.
I don't need that kind of lesson from you. I was asking because I'm not familiar with the way you people do these things in talk radio. I thought it was something that you would hear and try to make a joke out of. I don't know.
Well, Margaret, you're the one that is talking about, you know, Frank and his daughter Vicky, and these guys are going to want to take a look at it, and you've made 2 points now of saying that Frank, you had to point to quote it because Frank didn't know.
Men don't think of it is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here now from Lynn. Hi, Lynn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Margaret, I just have 4 words for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Like, put on some underwear. That's it.
All right, let's say I put some underwear on.
Yeah.
Let's say I did. Then that's okay? Then you'd be happy.
You're not going to be staring at your giblies to...
Yes, they do. They stare. They don't care. They're looking to see what they can see.
But didn't that other person say, did they call each other back and forth and say, oh, you know, I saw this and that and the other thing?
That's right. They do.
If they don't see anything, they're not going to be calling back and forth.
They're going. If they see underwear, they make a big deal out of that.
Well, don't hike up your skirt that high.
I have to. It's too bloody hot in the car. Here's an idea. Why don't we teach our truck drivers to have some manners, to act like gentlemen, and not hang out of a window like that Joe, who sounded to me...
Appreciate that.
Well, I'm sorry, but he
is
saying...
Too. You're the sweet woman.
I beg your pardon? My son, I told you that my son is not going to look at anything, or he's going to lose a lot of teeth.
That's
you think that's funny?
What is
do you think that's funny?
Yeah, that you'd smack your kid to knock out his teeth.
If he looked,
you probably
have
to
open
the window because of the smell with your skirt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
I'm
boy, what a crude, what a bitch you are! What a crude bitch you are!
Oh, look who's talking!
You really are. You are vile to say something like that.
I put my skirt up next to some little kid.
Really, how do I know?
Like tuna or whatever.
How do I know?
You know what?
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Oh, no, yeah.
And you
yeah,
really,
yeah,
I don't even think you've got a son or a husband because
I don't think.
If your husband or your son, yeah, no wonder. No, what? Yeah, why? Because no man would want to be around a woman like you with the manners of some kind of a she thing.
A she thing?
You know what I'd like to do? You know what? If you were standing in front of me, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you don't look like you're too far removed from 3 generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you. with all their tired, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, when all you could think about, Lynn, was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
You have to wash that seat off after you finish sitting on it.
No, you know what? I'll bet you anything that when you get out of bed in the morning, your husband has to burn the bed.
Oh, yeah, every day there's a bed burning.
You're
just
crazy.
Look,
that's
anyway,
right, Jumbo.
I'm done with you.
All right, Jumbo. Look. Well, listen, Jumbo, it's been great talking to you.
Put on some underwear.
See you, Jumbo.
Okay, so we heard the speech from, that's the first time I've heard that in a while, the speech from Silence of the Lambs. Jumbo and burning sheets, beds, you got it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back here, 877-876-PHIL. Still ahead on the program, David G. Hall. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And that was Catherine Rosedale.
How old was she? Welcome back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Margaret about Catherine Rosedale is who?
Catherine Rosedale, Phil, was a very, very dear woman. She was Ashley Jones' grandmother. I think Sherry knew her. There was a lot of people that knew her. Now, you heard the story that they had to move her from her home, and eventually they did have to put her with assisted living, or assisted care.
With a nurse?
Yes, with a full-time nurse. When she was in the car and they were moving and they had to move very fastly, they had to move very quickly, I mean, they had her in a long gown. And she got into the car. She was elderly. And I guess she had some kind of an itch or a scratch or something. She hiked that thing all the way above her waist. They're going down the freeway at about 50 miles an hour because they have all of this stuff, all of her stuff on the roof of the car. And here's an old lady with the windows open, and you can see for miles around as she's got the thing hiked over her waist, scratching and itching. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet, guess what? Here comes the truck driver, slows down. You talk about hard up. I mean, are our truckers that hard up to look at some old lady who has some kind of a rash?
Well, I that sounds like that would be bizarre. I mean,
are you going to slow up and look at that?
Well, for the first couple of seconds, you probably wouldn't know what the hell it is you're looking at. You know?
Oh, so you don't know what a naked woman looks like?
Well, I sure as hell don't. I've never in my life seen an elderly woman in full view of the world pulling a freaking dress up and doing what you're talking about. I would feel sorry for her. I would feel, you know, who are the people that are the family members that will keep this woman from doing what she's doing? That would be my first thought. Let's take a phone call here. We have Erica on the Phil Hendry Show. You're on with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please. Erica? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's not Erica. That is, I got a whole different caller here, man. Tammy. I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm a woman truck driver. You know, okay. What
yes, ma'am. Go.
If y'all see, you know, a trucker going down the road with a penis hanging out, would you look?
That's never happened. That doesn't happen. Now, let's stay in reality. If I'm going down the road and I'm with my son and I'm trying... Listen, I'm sitting in the seat of my car, darling. I'm not hanging it out a window. I'm sitting on the seat of my car. The truck driver comes by, takes out whatever they have, binoculars or a telescope or whatever they use, because he's trying to get a good...
You think we have time for that?
You know full well these guys have got something up there. Don't they have some kind of...
I'm a truck driver. Hold up. No, we don't.
Well, you're a female. I'm talking about the men. They carry those little telescopes that you can pull out of your pocket.
How is the guy going to drive?
I'm friends with many men truck drivers. No, they really do not. If you're out there showing, they're going to look.
Right. They are going to look. And if they're going to look, they're going to try to get a good look. And that means they'll generally have those Nikon binoculars or some form of a miniature telescope.
So why would you be showing it, though? I mean, you wouldn't look if... Okay, we're driving
because I
car,
feel...
a man showing a penis, you wouldn't look.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, a man showing his penis means that he is mentally disturbed. I'm not trying to show anything. I'm trying to get some air up there. Because I'll be honest with you, you're a woman, and I'm a woman. Can I just talk honestly with you?
Yes.
I don't necessarily shave, okay? So it gets warm. And
can we not talk about that on live radio, please?
Who is speaking to me like that?
The host of the show, ma'am. That's who's speaking to you like that, and I don't want to hear that kind of conversation on live radio.
Well, she's turning... Are you there? Tammy,
yeah,
are you
I'm
there?
Here.
Is the caller there? Did you turn
yes,
your
I'm
radio
here.
Up? Did you turn your radio up? Because the host will go... They go bat crap crazy if you do that. And
all right, just talk to the lady.
So it gets very warm. And so I try to get some air blowing around up there. My son
with
doesn't
your son
look.
In the car,
he's been
you
told.
Said, right?
No, I've
so
said to my son,
son,
don't
in
you.
The car is what you said.
I'm saying my son does not look or he loses teeth. Now, I don't know how more clearly I can put it.
So, in other words.
So it's not good for a trucker to look, but it's okay for your son to be in the car if you're doing that.
Excuse me, I just said, no, my son may not look. If I see him turn to his left, even if he's looking at a house that's burning down and people throwing themselves through the windows, if he turns left and he gets a smile on his face, he loses. I'm telling you right now, he'll lose teeth.
So I'm thinking you're disturbed, not the truckers.
Oh, my God. I'm a woman, the same as you.
So
I talk about the same things.
But you know what? I would not hike up nothing around my son.
Darling, I've told you a million times. I'll say it again. My son is not allowed to look.
Well, that seems like very a poor excuse. I mean, if you got your panties off and your skirt is hiked up...
Excuse me, Phil, I really am not comfortable talking with you
look.
About it. I'm talking to the lady about it, Tammy. Yes, dear,
every
what did you say?
Looks.
Every boy looks at his mother's trumpet.
Every boy is curious and is going to look, so it's okay for your son to be in the car, but if you're going by, I can't look.
You're telling me that your son's interested in your you-know-what? I call that
honey, I don't
pretty
run
weird.
Without no pennies in front of my son.
But you're saying that if you did, it would be perfectly normal for your son to want to get a look.
I don't do it, so why would it be not normal to do that?
Darling, I'm saying it's very dangerous for you to think that way, because if you think like that, then you're going to say it's normal for your son to want to go ahead and take a shot.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, I think you're really disturbed, not the truckers.
So I can tell you that as a woman, one woman to another, I'm disturbed by that, because all I'm trying to say is that if you're driving
a woman
to
I wouldn't run around with no panties in front of my son.
I'm not running around. I'm sitting on the seat of my car, and I've told my son, if I so much as see you look left, I will through your head.
Okay,
right
so
through
you're
your head.
You're bringing it to your son's attention. You have no panties on.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I have
so
to let
that
him know.
Right there is disturbing.
Would you rather that I took my panties off and not said anything about it until he turned, leered, and began to make a move?
You know, you're the kind of people that the police need to be on.
I agree.
You should not have...
Oh, you agree.
...driving around with your son with no panties on.
I absolutely agree with the caller.
I think, Phil, that your mind is in the gutter. I think
mine?
The caller
no,
is... No, not you. Not you. I think Phil Henry's mind is in the gutter. I think as a woman, as a fellow woman, I think you're leaving me... You're leaving me out in the desert for buzzard meat.
And that's where you should be.
Well,
Margaret, what you've been saying here is so outrageous. You know,
thank you.
No, just let me say this, okay? Because you know what? I may not be a woman, but I am a father. And I can tell you what you're saying is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life. And to say that you have every right to go down the road with no panties on, your son's going to lose teeth if he looks, and then truckers better not look. You know, you're one of these people who want to operate.
Would you ride down the street with your daughter in the vehicle with no underwear?
Are you asking Mr. Henry that or me?
I'm asking. He would ride down the road with no underwear with his daughter in the vehicle.
No, for God's sake, no. First of all, my daughter would never, in her wildest imaginings, even do that. Secondly, I would order her out of the car.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you know something, Margaret? You want to get a fist and lose some teeth?
How dare you?
No, no, I meant it, every word. Listen, I gotta go. I appreciate your call. Very, very good.
You need to be on the sexual offenders list, Margaret.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tammy. World famous Phil Henry Show, David G. Hall coming up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We'd love for you to join us on our website. We have live streaming video of our show every night. And just so you know, if you joined us on Saturday nights for our special video cast and broadcast on Saturday nights, and you're a backstage pass holder, all of those video casts are going to be archived. All of that audio is going to be archived this week. So our Saturday night show, which came to an end last Saturday night, was the last Saturday night show that we did because, to be honest with you, six nights a week is killer. But we have saved all of those video casts, all of the Phil TV and HD for the last over a year, well over 50 shows that will be available for you, including the video, in our archives very, very shortly. We're excited about that. And just another added little special added bonus here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to get on the line here with this David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication, a man who has been involved, obviously, in the business end of our radio show for a long time. But we also want to be talking to David here about some other things. We're going to talk to him about the television show that I've just been doing. And to that end, David, let me get you on the line here. David, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil, and we are very excited about the fact that you were on set with New Girl on Fox, and we'll look forward to seeing that when that comes out.
Now, I know that there were a couple of concerns that you had, and we were going to address those concerns here this evening, but one of them has to do with, and it seems silly, so I'll let you say it, but one of them has to do with going Hollywood on you, huh?
Yeah, I think it is a normal thing. I think it's a normal thing, Phil, for anybody to think that if you have a comrade, a colleague in the radio business who has decided he's going to pursue television acting as you have, we don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself. We don't want you to get a big head. I think the listeners want to be assured that you are going to be here doing your radio show, regardless.
Well, that's my plan, absolutely.
Well, all right, it's your plan, and I believe you. But when you talk, as you have been talking, I know you did some updates while you were doing the show, and you also took some nights off in order for you to complete this program. When you talk about the show and you posted some things on your website, we don't want you to start thinking that you're Mr. Hollywood, that's all, and that I think you appreciate that. And the listeners, I think, would be concerned. Understand that radio listeners, especially talk show listeners, are people that are fairly well divorced from these ideas of Hollywood and acting and TV. And most people that listen to talk radio are listening to talk radio to talk about politics or to talk about farming. There's a lot of our radio stations cover many of the farming areas. Especially the time of night that you're on, there's a lot of rural reporting, truckers, and again, the farming communities, ranching. When you start talking about Hollywood, you're leaving people in the dust. And so,
but all right, and I agree that I don't. In other words, I don't want to. I do not want to become, as you said, Mr. Hollywood. I don't want anybody to not think that I'm talking to them. But you asked me to come on the air.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You wanted me to talk about working on the show.
Oh yeah, absolutely, I did. Absolutely, I did.
But all right. So you just want me to temper it?
Yeah, I don't. I want you to give us the inside scoop. Give the audience what it's like to work on a TV show, and give everybody the day to day. What happens when you come on the onto the lot there? When you go into hair and makeup, I heard you say, and then you go and get something to eat, and then you start your day. We want to know about all of that. But I'm hopeful that you won't go Mr. Hollywood. And Bud Dickman and I have at least, and of course we were talking to Sal Humphries about this, and he agreed. Bud, go ahead and play that sounder that we have.
Right here.
Okay, here, do you hear that, Phil?
That's the song, Hooray for Hollywood?
Yeah, that's Hooray for Hollywood. Now, what that song means, and the reason why we brought that on is we don't want you to get so Mr. Hollywood that you start losing. So if you hear that music, you can tone it down, if you know what I mean.
All right, let me turn that down for a minute, will you, Bud?
Turn it off, Bud.
Okay, first of all, I don't know that I need that. In other words...
Well, if you don't need it, that's fine. You know?
Well, what I'm saying to you is this. I don't need music to remind me. Sounds like you're on a cordless phone.
I am, and I apologize, Phil. It's not a very good connection.
I don't need anybody to remind me that I'm getting to Hollywood.
Well, I think you do, and here's why I say that. People that get into that kind of a business that you got into, these are people that are not going to necessarily... These are people that are not going to necessarily, Phil, know that they're getting over the top a little bit. So that's why we wanted to bring that music on to remind you, because I don't have, it may be something that you're not aware of.
I can assure you that I'm aware of it.
Well, fine. If you can assure me that you're aware of it, then we won't need to use the sounder. So were you going to talk in this segment about it?
Yeah, and you were going to ask me some questions.
All right, well, I want to ask you, do you have a trailer? Do you have a dressing room?
I have a, yeah, there's a trailer, there's a dressing room.
What's in it?
Well, what's in it? I mean, there's a, you go in there, there's a TV set, some of the...
Yeah, okay, see what you did there?
What did I do?
Oh, there's a TV set,
Did you ask me what was in it?
I asked you what's in it. You don't have to go into the TV set. Is there a toilet?
Yes, there's a toilet.
Is there a place to wash your hands? Is there something to sit on?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we need. Oh, there's a TV set.
First of all, I didn't say it that way. Could you turn that off, Bud, please?
Turn it off, Bud.
I didn't say it like that.
Well, I know, but I'm just... You understand that we don't want you to...
Yeah, you don't want me to get too Hollywood. You asked me, do I have a trailer? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't ask you had a TV set in it. All right, when you get done in the trailer, now where do you go?
What do you mean when I get done in the trailer?
Well, what are you doing in there?
I'm sitting there. I guess I'm waiting for them to call me to hair and makeup. What did I do now?
Oh, they're calling you to hair and makeup. Is that it? Is that what you do? Look, Phil, you're not Marilyn Monroe, okay? You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
All right, well, what do you mean they called you to hair and makeup? What do they do? I don't understand what that means.
They knock on the door and they say, Phil, could you come to hair and makeup?
Didn't say that, okay? Don't go, hey, they call me. And
by the way, David, that mimicking of me, you don't even sound like me.
You want to bet? Because when you say that, that's what you sound like to the audience. You go, no, they call me. All right, now once they call you to hair and makeup and you sit there in hair and makeup, what happens?
What do you mean, what happens? We turn the thing off?
Turn it off, buddy. He's not doing anything wrong.
I just want to make sure.
Well, what happens when they call you to hair and makeup?
You go in there, and you sit in a chair, and they ask you, how you doing and all this stuff, and they start applying the makeup.
Well, what kind of makeup do they apply?
Well, I mean, they'll touch up, do a little touch up, and sometimes what they're going to want to do is make sure... Why are you playing... What are you playing the music now for?
Doing a little touch up.
But you know what? Get out of here, both of you guys.
Mr. Hall's going to be upset.
Get out of here. I can't even touch up. Okay, bang, there goes the Hollywood music and the thing with the TV. I had a good time. You can get David back on, but I'm not going to listen to him telling me. David.
Look, Phil, why are you hanging up on me?
Will you knock it off with that music?
I just want to make sure you're not getting too ahead of yourself and getting, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I got all the Mr. Hollywood stuff. You asked me a question, I gave you the answers, okay? Touch up, whatever. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it. So don't you think the producers of that show would like you to promote it?
I said New Girl on Fox. That show, by the way, is doing very well. It doesn't need Phil Henry to promote it. Thank you and good night.
Mr. Hall's going to call back.
I don't care. Keep him off the air. He's had his segment, okay? We did Hooray for Hollywood. And the New Girl on Fox show is a great show, and it's doing very well. It's the hottest comedy of the year, all this good stuff. And what else do you want me to tell you, man? They're nice people. Zoe Deschanel is a very, very nice person, very professional, very sweet. Everybody makes you feel like you're welcome, and everyone is a pro. And I worked with Lamorne Morris on all of my scenes. He's a great guy, a great actor, and he'd been around a long time. These are all young people in their, late 20s, early 30s, but they're, they've put in a pretty fair number of years to get where they are. And it's a happy set. And when I say that, you work some places, people are unhappy. You work anywhere that you work, no matter what you do for a living. You want to work around people that kind of like being there? As opposed to walking into work every morning. You ever walk into work every morning, you see these people with a sour kisser? I guess that must be like working with me, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I spoke too soon. But, you know what I mean. And I had a lot of fun, so I thank those guys very, very much.
What are you doing next?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing next, whatever I get hired to do next, okay? I'm a hired gun, man.
You're like a character actor, man, right?
A what?
You're like a character actor. You just pop up whenever they hire you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to be a character actor. That's my goal. My goal is just to be a character actor, yeah, just to do whatever they want me to do. I don't care.
But don't you want to have, be in a movie and everything?
I don't want to be the headliner. I don't need to be. I think it's a little late in my career now, man, to be thinking I'm going to be headlining any movies. All I care about is working, Jack. That's all I care about, doing the best I can, working, okay? Anyway, had a great time. Thank you very much. Thank you, David, for coming on here and reminding me not to go Hollywood. And I think it's an important thing, but I certainly don't need that music blasting in my ear.
Sorry.
All right, we'll take a break here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we have our News and Information Hour coming up next hour as well.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back. We've got Bob Bacon, who is in Florida right now. We want to get on the line with Bob. He is in the Phil Henry Show news helicopter. Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, Phil, I'm doing, to make a joke, I'm doing a lot better than Davy Jones, which is not a very good joke at all. Davy Jones, lost his life earlier today, Phil, from a heart attack. He was 66 years of age in Martin County. Davy Jones, a beloved of so many people, a member of the Bunkies for a number of years as their lead singer, and he was sort of the heartthrob of that group, was visiting a stable where he keeps a number of horses, horses that he enjoys, he and his wife, and apparently was feeling ill. It was at that time that members of the staff decided to call paramedics. The hospital dispatched an ambulance. The ambulance arrived. Mr. Jones was taken to the Martin Memorial Hospital. It was there that he passed away, and doctors informing family members. Quite a sad day here in the... By the way, I haven't heard that music. If I don't hear that music...
I'm sorry, we didn't have the music.
I don't recognize that. Could you start that over again, please? Because if I don't have my news music, I can't get this report out properly, all right? Now, I was working on a full head of steam, and you need to get the music up.
We need the music, bud.
Can start the music, otherwise I'm starting. This is Bob Bakian reporting from Florida, Phil, where Davy Jones, 66, the lead singer of the teen rock group The Bunkies, was passed on of a heart attack. He was visiting his horses at a stable. Okay, there it is, yeah. And would you please remember to do that?
I'm sorry, Bob. It's just that you did very well at the beginning without the music.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I've had a lot of rest and I got a full head of steam up, but you know as well as I do that I must have that music in order to make myself clear, in order to sound like a human being and not some kind of an ape that lives in the wild. You understand that the only thing standing between me, the only thing standing between me and becoming a Cro-Magnon without any ability at language is that music right there. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right, then don't ever let that music stop playing. Otherwise... Oh, did it on purpose, huh?
No, hey, bud, don't fool around with it.
I just want to see if what you say is true.
Let me tell you something. I'll fly to Los Angeles. I'll find you, bud. I'll turn the music off in my headphones because usually I have it on an iPod at all times. I'll go Cro-Magnon on you, and they won't be able to begin to even think about where the DNA is, let alone identifying anything else. You see what I mean? So they would only know that a human was killed here on that day. I'm Bob Bakian reporting.
Well, I guess that told you, bud, huh?
What are you talking about? That guy's half Batcraft.
But he said, man, if you ever got a hand on you, they wouldn't be able to find no DNA.
What do you mean they won't find no DNA?
Just what I'm saying to you is, the next time we have Bob Bakian on, you've got to make sure that his music's playing. All right. Now, I didn't even get near the amount of reporting there that I wanted. So I want you to reset the interview, okay?
Wait a minute. He already did.
Reset the interview. Don't give me a hard time about it. I want to get Bob back on the line. I want to make sure this time that his music is playing, because according to him, unless he has that music playing, he cannot make himself understood. So do you understand me?
All I'm trying to say...
Do you understand me that Bob Bakian's got to have his eyewitness news stinger? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, then do that. Get him on the line right now.
Get him on the phone number.
I know the phone number. I know how to dial a phone.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show here.
Yeah, Bob. Hi. Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Will you be quiet? Is he ready?
Yeah, he's standing by.
All right, it's time now to get Bob Bakian up on the line here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm sorry, Bob, that we were not able to get the full report out there. We do want to hear from Bob Bakian in Martin County, Florida. Go ahead, Bob.
And a very, very pleasant good evening to you, Phil, and to everybody across the United States. A very sad day indeed as Davy Jones, as you know, passed on, age 66. Davy Jones, the lead singer of The Bunkies, a hit teen pop rock group that had a number of great hits. I'm a Believer, The Last Train to Clarksburg, or Clark Merton, I forget.
Clarksville.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, that's a little bit of a joke.
Hold on, Bob. I don't think joking on the occasion...
Phil, I understand. Get that music.
Bud.
Get the music.
Bud.
Get the music.
All right. I apologize.
Look, hold on for a minute. Why make a joke about this? Davy Jones was a popular performer, a beloved performer, members of my generation. You know, he was a teen idol, and that's okay, too. You know...
Well, I understand that, Phil, but why can't I have a couple of kicks? You know, why can't I show personality? You know, in my time, in my... Oh, so turn the music down, huh?
Yeah, you want some personality? I'll give you some.
I'm going to tell you, Dickman, I know where you live, I know what you look like, I know what that plate in your head looks like, and there isn't any place you can go, no place you can hide, no place that you can run. Boy, I swear to God.
Bud, don't screw around with him. He sounds serious.
Yeah, no guy that sounds Cro-Magnon going to hurt me.
In any event, Phil, what were you asking?
I was asking for you to have a little more respect, that's all. You know, it seems to me I've been asking people that all night. Have more respect. Have some manners. I get tired of asking you guys that.
Phil, this is Bob Baker reporting, and you never have to ask me to have manners. I can tell you that I'm a very mannered guy.
Yeah, okay, then why is it that when you started out with the report on Davy Jones...
I just felt like it was time for me, Bob Baker, to have my own personality. Bob Baker reporting.
What a weird ass. God.
Yeah, man. Sound like he got to have music and everything.
I wonder if he's got to have it playing if he goes to the bathroom number two.
Oh, well, you know, bud, maybe what I'll have you do is hide out in a stall and find out. What a weird ass.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
And what do we have to do when he's on number two?
You know, of all the things... Yeah, Bob?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. As Bob Baker reporting, I've got to go to the bathroom.
Wait a minute. Keep the mic on it.
Get out of here. All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your report, and... Again, Davy Jones, 66. Man, I can't believe the guy was 66.
Who's Davy Jones, anyway?
Davy Jones was a member... Didn't you hear his report?
Oh, who can understand what Bakey is saying? It's all garbled up. Sounds Cro-Magnon, even though he's had his music.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's true.
All right, Davy Jones was... Sounds Cro-Magnon, even... Anyway, Davy Jones was in a group called the Monkees, and to be honest with you... even though I was very young myself, I was like 14, I was too cool to like the Monkees. I think any boy, it was a girl thing, and it was a TV show, and they were like these four cute guys that were like the Beatles, and it turned out that they were also very talented musicians, and they went on and actually, you know, recorded some pretty decent music. All right, we'll be right back here with our News and Information Hour. Coming up, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm on Bob Baker. That's not my music, but it'll do.